We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Welcome to the Light Years After Show on Locker Room. Andy, did you believe Steve Kerr when he said we're going to be more of a pick and roll offense?
This game was literally every single game that we've watched 50 times this season. I wanted to believe him this morning, Steve. Sam, I felt like I was talking to Steve. I wanted to believe him.
I wanted to believe you, Steve.
I wanted to believe him. And you know what I really think happened? I bet you he knew. He's not a dumbass. I bet you he knew that the Heat were going to trap, which they did. So he said, I'm not going to run the pick and roll because it's going to play directly into their hands. I'm actually going to go back to what I was, you know, what the normal off-ball motion offense is, because that's what's going to help Steph. And instead, we just literally watch what's been happening all season long. Like, there's really nothing, I guess, you can do when a defense is locked in and you just don't have enough shooters.
Yeah, Miami is going to switch everything. They have that type of roster. You know, picking up Oladipo, Ariza. God, they just have like the most just culture team of all time, right? And the Warriors, you know, Steve Kerr couldn't help himself, had to go back to the offense he trusts and likes. In general, I mean, the Heat are a better team. I'm not going to be super, super upset over this one. Right. But my first thoughts on this one were, you know, let's talk Wiggins here. We got the full Wiggins experience here, right? So first half looks amazing, really talking yourself into him turning a leaf. And the second half is exactly why you can never consider him untradeable, in my opinion. Like, he does defend. He can get hot. He can do a handful of things that help you win. But he's just not consistent enough.
I watched him take Bam Adebayo off the dribble and draw the foul, like, with ease. Like, he just goes right by him. Like, a little between the legs, crossover, right by him, draw a foul. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, yeah, I would love Andrew Wiggins to get a handle, but, like, there it is. And, like, that's literally the flash where you're like, I wasn't even happy about it. I just threw my hands up, because first off, you know he's going to miss one of the free throws, which he did. And second off, it's like, you just don't see that enough. It's I don't even know how to explain it, Sam. Like, it's not like that play is unsustainable. He crossed him over. It went to the hole. Is that an unsustainable move? I feel like it's a pretty, like, standard move if you're a pretty damn good offensive player, which he was tonight, right? But you're not going to see him do that more than, like, once a week,
which is wild.
I think he just got an angle on Bam that one time. I don't think he has enough handle to do it consistently. I also just don't think he likes contact like that. Tonight, you got him as aggressive as you're possibly going to get him. He had 8 rebounds. He had 6 in the first half. Actually, now that I'm pulling up the box score right now, we can pull this out. He had 18 points and 6 rebounds at halftime. He ends the game with 23 points and 8 rebounds. Miami decided to pay a little more attention to him, but mostly if you just get physical with him, you take him out of the game.
Yeah.
Fine player. He's going to play defense. He's going to hit some shots. He's going to do certain things, but I kind of just think this is who he is. He's kind of a 15 to 20 point per game guy, can get a hot here and there, doesn't like contact, not a playmaker for others. It's fine. But, you know, it's when you consider the fact that he's on a max contract, you can't consider him a piece you have to keep for eternity.
Yeah, I don't get that frustrated with Andrew Wiggins anymore, because it's like he's like the epitome of this basketball game, really. It's, you know what you're going to get. You know, like, something bad is going to happen. You're going to get angry. Sometimes you're going to see some good flashes. And this has been going on all season. The low IQ plays, right? The weird rotations, like who's playing, who shouldn't be playing. Nico Mannion came in. They went -8. I don't know why Juan Toscano-Anderson's not playing. Draymond Green has 23 points. Looks fantastic on offense. But other than that, right? Like, there's – sorry, he had 18, I should say. Wiggins at 23. But
also
it's like
– season high.
Also season – but it's like just this stuff where it's just – we've seen this nonstop all season long. And I don't know. Like, I'm kind of numb to it. Like, that end of the first half sequence was probably, like, the – like, I want to hear your thoughts on it. You know the sequence I'm talking about? The Kent Bazemore foul, the Steph Curry turnover, drawing the foul. Yeah, like, that was just, like, peak 2021 Golden State Warriors.
Well, it's just so I feel like they want to be a defensive minded team, but I don't think they're good enough to play that kind of basketball. Like they can play some defense, but they just remind me they want to be the Miami Heat instead of, I don't know, maybe the Charlotte Hornets, be a run and gun pick and roll team, you know? And all things considered, I'm not sure it really makes a difference on the record anymore, other than it's frustrating to watch because they don't have Iguodala, they don't have Ariza, they don't have Bam Adebayo, they don't have all these guys who are that locked in to play that type of style. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is kind of our friend of the show, Vignesh from GSW Fast Break. I can't say his last name, so I'm not going to butcher it. But he just tweeted, is it reductive to say the Heat are pretty good and know who they are while the Warriors aren't as good and have no idea who or what they are? Like, that just kind of speaks to what you're saying, is that are the Warriors trying to be good defensively? Are they trying to play with pace? Are they trying to be grinded out? Do they actually want to run pick and roll? Like, we have no idea what they want to do. I don't think they know either, right? Like, I think they could do some of those things pretty well. But, like, if you're not going to try to do all those things all the time, then you're not going to be able to do any of those things really well.
Yeah, they keep switching it up. They run pick and roll nonstop last game. Today, they go back to trying to be the Miami Heat. It's, I don't know, it's a mess. I guess we should. So let's start on the rotations here. Do you think the rotations and kind of the fact that they don't have an identity and they're still experimenting 49 games into the season is a hindrance to this team at this point? Or do you think it doesn't even matter? Because there's a finite limit in terms of how good this team can be.
Yeah, how good the rotations, like, does that really matter, right? Yeah, I think the scheme probably matters more. Like if you're the Brooklyn Nets, you could probably play any style you want. Same with the Lakers, and you'll be fine. You can switch it up per game, per matchup. The thing with the Warriors is you can't do that, right? You kind of pick one. They're not good enough to play this style this game and then go back to playing pick and roll next game. You know why? Because we just watched James Wiseman tonight. I have no idea what he's doing on the basketball court. Absolutely zero idea. And that's because last game they ran one type of style on offense, and this game they ran another type of style, and he doesn't know how to play that style. Like, he don't know where to go.
Yeah, but he's going against an all-defensive team player. Bam out of bios.
But it's pretty simple if you just simplify what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing, right? And I just don't think he's obviously not able to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. They should be simplifying everything for him. I mean, we see Nico Mannion come in also. That 1 minute he played, they go -8. I'm not putting that all on Nico, but he is a traffic cone. I don't really understand why, you know, they're super committed to him. I mean, I have my theories, but he isn't that good. So let's talk about one more thing before we get this moving. What'd you think of Steph's game today?
Dude, I feel bad for him. He obviously is rushing back.
Yeah, he looks in pain.
He looks in pain, but also one of those games where we talked about a last game where he's just getting trapped, right? He's getting trapped. He has a few of those dumbass turnovers that he does when he's trapped, where it's just his turnovers are like pick sixes. It's not like he turns it over and then the other team has kind of like a control break and then they have like a long possession, right? Like those turnovers aren't as bad. His turnovers are literally he turns it over as the other team gets a dunk. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. What can he do? Kelly Oubre is terrible again. Right. And then he's playing on James Wiseman. Yeah. What I'm saying is, all right, like James Wiseman doesn't know what he's doing half the time he's out there. And he's kind of playing with a lot of guys that are pretty useless on offense. And I think that's kind of what he has to deal with. He had a cool end of game. I don't know what to expect out of him, though. Maybe shoot more in the beginning. But, you know, we know the story.
Yeah, Miami was trying to take him out of the game. They're doubling him the whole time. It was kind of a rough night for him. But I would like to see him try to be more aggressive early. That's kind of the tale of the season. When he feels like getting it going early, good things happen. When he doesn't, it's kind of a grind for this team, right? So let's talk about Kelly Oubre real quick, and then let's open it to listener questions. How's that sound?
Yep.
I'm starting to think they might not want him back at any cost, to be honest. Forget the salary spot or anything, but just like he's playing like a dude who's just playing for his contract in general. Just horrendous game. So many selfish plays. You know, maybe it's the pressure of the contract. Maybe if that gets sorted, he goes back to being a little more normal. But just a terrible game, in my opinion, tonight.
Do you think this is as any worse than what he was doing at the beginning of the season?
At the beginning of the season? No.
Yeah, when he was slumping?
Okay, fair point. Yeah, if you're talking about Christmas-ish time, no, it's not any worse than that.
Well, I guess like I'm asking because I'm wondering if Oubre is kind of letting that get to him, right? Like it sounds like he did at the beginning of the season. He let kind of the pressure get to him. So I wonder if that's the case again, if it's the contract getting to him, or if it's just who he is right now. Like, who's to say that if he gets a 4-year, you know, $50 million contract, then now he's free and easy and he's going to play a lot better. Maybe like he was in January. I don't know. But is it not better? Like, forget the salary stuff. That trade deadline's passed. Wouldn't it be better if they just put Juan Toscano-Anderson instead of him right now and just play him? Like, would it not be better for the team? I feel like probably then in that case, then what does it matter if he's gone? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, which is insane because then now you're playing yourself, right? Then why the hell is he even on the team? You might as well have just got Spencer Dinwiddie at that point.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's just a very, very troubling play right now. There's no other way around it. So it's not – I don't know what to make of it. First off, I don't know what kind of market he's going to have in the summer. There's no way around that. I don't think he's going to have the $100 million offer he wants in the summer. But this play right now is just – I don't know, man. It's bad. I'm trying to figure out how he and Wiggins fit into the Warriors' long-term future, and I feel like there's only room for one of them.
Or how him and Wiseman stays on the floor together. But I think you're right. Like maybe the better part is like how him and Wiggins can play together because both of them kind of need touches and aren't really real shooters. Like you can't have that. So like, would you rather have like at least Juan Toscano's a glue guy, or you just pick someone up who's more of a shooter next offseason, right? Like I'm not saying like Avery Bradley, Danny Green, like someone like that, like a veteran guy who can just stick there and just shoot like 37, absolutely no doubt about it, 37% from three, right? And doesn't make dumb plays and plays decent defense. I think like that's probably a better shot. And that guy will probably cost you what? Like the middle of an exception maybe? Like I don't know, but like that might be a better shot for it. But it just sucks because you traded a future a future 2 seconds probably, right? But like still, man, like that's not good.
Yeah, I agree. It's not. Well, we'll see what happens with that. I think it's too early. It's just when you see games like tonight, I get a little nervous about it.
You've heard us talking about it before, and we're back again to talk to you about hosting your own podcast here at Blue Wire. And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. I don't know how many times Sam and I get people DMing us about how to start a podcast. So if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with the Blue Wire's top.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to me or Sam or us talk about your favorite team, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
All right, we're going to open this to questions now. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's do it. No, people are saying it sounds fine. So maybe I'm going crazy here because I'm complaining to Sam. I'm texting him. So, all right, guys, maybe it's my brain. But yeah, let's get to some callers.
Well, it's Keanu. What's up, man?
Yo, what's up, guys? All right. I just think no one respects the Warriors anymore in the NBA, bro. It's like so bad. First of all, the end of the first half sequence, that shit was crazy. I don't know what was going on there. They got like 3 points doing the bare minimum. And then Fitz got to be like the only announcer ever to cut to break saying, so far, so good after that. I don't know. Dude's wilding. And then in the fourth quarter, at the end of the game, it felt like a March Madness, like first round game where we were like Holy Cross and they were Duke, like full court press up 10, switching a 2-3 zone, like just no respect at all for like the Warriors shooters. Like it's just brutal. It's brutal to watch.
It is brutal to watch. I hope they enter next season with a couple more shooters and a couple less. Give me the ball. I'm going to try to create for myself type of wings. So Man, they really overcorrected. Last year, they're like, we don't have any wings. This year, like, they get themselves a bunch of wings who can't shoot. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the no respect thing is real, though. Like, it's just teams don't – like, it went from teams wanting to beat them because the Warriors were beating the crap out of people for 5 years to now they're just like, well, Nemanja Bjelica is just going to be a rim protector at five for, like, 5 minutes, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. What were we watching there?
All right, Keanu. Appreciate you. And keep moving.
Looks like Poole and Looney are going to be fine per Tony Slater. So maybe that'll be all right.
That's good. Poole, I was going to say, Poole is a huge loss because he's probably their second best scorer. So you can't have him go down for a while. Brad, what's up, man?
First of all, fuck Steve Kerr for trading me. Why is Juan Toscano not getting any minutes? Like, this is just I don't know, it's just terribly frustrating for me because I mean JTA is such a good basketball player. I just don't understand the rationale.
I appreciate that. You know what, that was my timeline was going crazy over that one. Why is Juan Toscano Anderson not playing? And earlier in the season I was like, guys, it's not that big a deal. But honestly, when I look at this team, Draymond's he's probably the second best glue guy on the roster, right? So I feel like he has to play because they just need someone who's not thinking about putting their head down and charging the rim with no clue what they're going to do. And at least we know Juan Toscano Anderson can survey the court and make a semi-intelligent decision before he resorts to that.
I literally don't think that Juan Toscano Anderson has played a bad game. Now, maybe my expectations are low because I didn't, you know, part of it was just like, I don't know if he was an NBA player. He kind of skeptical about these G League guys, but just all season, he has not made a bad play or had a bad game. And also part of that is probably because I watched Kelly Oubre play all game and James Wiseman and Andrew Wiggins. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, these guys might be the dumbest players on the three dumbest players on the floor every time they're on the floor. Like, it's truly incredible how they do that every night. Maybe part of the discussion there, though, Sam, is like, who is he actually going to play over? Because Nico's out of the rotation. So you have the starting five, you have Bazemore, and then you have Damian Lee tonight, who's a shooter, and then Looney off the bench. So that's eight guys. Like, who is he going to play over in those situations? Jordan Poole, that's nine guys. So, you know, maybe that's worth parsing out, but I'm like, well, just don't play Oubre or don't play Bazemore in those cases. What do those guys even do for you that maybe you can't get, you know?
This is where the Oubre trade deadline thing is really curious. We don't know what the offers were for him, other than the Dinwiddie offer, who's out for the year. But they really could have used potentially moving Oubre for a different type of player just to open up some minutes for Juan Toscano Anderson. Didn't happen. Now this is what they're rolling with till the end of the year.
Yeah.
Janelle, what's up?
What's up? What's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. Wiggins is who he is at this point. And that salary aside, is he better off the bench and being a sixth man?
Janelle, appreciate you calling in.
Interesting.
It depends who they have. I think Wiggins' biggest value to this team is defensive, honestly. Like, he's been more consistent defensively than I quite frankly thought he was capable of. And because of that alone, I like him with the starting unit just because he's willing to check the other team's best perimeter player. Obviously, Draymond kind of controls the back line, is quarterbacking the whole thing. So I would not want to move him to the bench, but that's just with the caveat of who they have on the roster right now. They bring in a different construction of players. Maybe I change my mind.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, also the $30 million contract kind of requires you not to bring him off the bench. But I think bench players are usually, you think of those guys that are players that can anchor kind of like a instant offense unit, right? Like Jordan Poole seems like he is just perfect fit for that kind of guy. For that kind of role. And right now, it does seem like Andrew Wiggins is the perfect third or fourth option. And then like kind of takes the first or second wing, actually first wing defensive role. Because then if you bench him, then your offense, which is kind of okay, gets a lot worse. And you really only have Draymond and, well, presumably maybe Clay, but then he's only playing 15 minutes a game, right? So that becomes tough. I got a question for you, Sam. Do you want to see more Steph and Jordan Poole together?
Oh, that is a great one. I do want to see Steph and Jordan Poole more together. Like, obviously, we know,
right,
if they get deep into the playoffs, that's probably not a good – you got, like, Dame CJ issues there. But, like, I'm not really concerned about that right now. I'm concerned about them generating coherent offense, and he's clearly the second best scoring threat on this team. So I would like to see more of him on next to Steph. We should see how it looks. To me, Jordan Poole, I don't want to overhype him, but I think he's a really good player. I think he has a chance to be a really impactful player, whether it's as a six man or whatever. So you might as well start experimenting with him a little bit.
Hold on. What's your comp? What's the ceiling that you see for Jordan Poole? I hear something that you want to say. What is the ceiling that you see for him?
You know, I could see him getting to a CJ McCollum level.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a little on the high side, but when he gets going, I see it. I don't know. Wow. It's unlikely he ends up that good. Let's be real. But it's worth noting Jordan Poole right now is younger than rookie CJ McCollum. CJ McCollum did not play for its first 2 years. To be fair, he broke his foot like in training camp in this rookie year. So can't really blame him for that one. But Jordan, I'm bringing some takes right now. I got to cheer everyone up.
This is what we needed. This is good stuff. I'm gonna tell Tim to break that up.
I'm telling you, man, he's good. He's good. There's an opportunity there. I don't know. We'll see. I at least want to see more of him. All right, let's keep this moving. I mean, maybe I'm just not used to seeing players who can shoot. So that could be it too.
Well, we got Conor McGregor on. So
Maxwell, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Sam, you're on the money. Jordan Poole's a fucking baller. I don't care what anyone says. He's got it. So I got two things. One, what's your guys' outlook on our success going forward? Like, would you rather us be a contender for like the next 3 to 5 years? And
oh no, did we lose him?
Oh, I thought that was me. So I assume what he meant was, do you want to see the Warriors go all in now for the next 3 to 5 years versus kind of waiting?
Call back if you can. I don't know what happened with the app there. But yeah, do you want to see them go all in right now or play the long game? I think you and I want to see them go all in.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You got a chance to win titles now. Like, look at how good the some of these players have been in their careers. Like, I guess you could even throw James Harden in that mix, or like KG. Some of these guys who are Hall of Famers, they don't win titles. Or if they do, they win one title. And it's just like, look at Dirk. He's won one title. And do you know how hard it is to win a freaking title in a professional sports organization? You know how hard it is? Like, Aaron Rodgers has won one championship in his career. He's like the third best quarterback of all time. And so, like, if you got a chance to win a title, which presumably you will if Steph is in his prime and healthy, like, you go for it. It's not a question.
Tommy, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. So, my question, actually, this is a perfect follow-up to what you guys just said. But I'm thinking, let's say the Warriors organization decides this offseason, we're all in to win a championship right now. How many moves realistically do you think we are able to make? Like, how many moves do you think our assets kind of add up to? Is it like one big one? Do you think we get two or three? What's realistic?
So there's two ways. That's a great question, Tommy. Two ways to go about it. They can either kind of deal, you know, decide they're going to draft someone with the Wolves picks. You're bringing in a rookie. You have Wiseman. Obviously, you have the core three. You have Wiggins. Then they're looking at using the mid-level exception, a couple other veterans, and they're hoping to do something Spurs-ish in that capacity. Or what I really think they want to do, they just are waiting for it to become available, is package Wiggins and all their stuff for a superstar. The real question is, when does that happen, right?
Yeah, it's that one move that they're hoping for. I think we saw the cat rumor that came out a few days ago. Although I don't know if it's an actual rumor or not. Who the hell was that guy? But like that's why they didn't move pieces for any of the players at the deadline. Now, you can say they probably should have moved Oubre for someone, because like they're probably not getting a Bradley Beal with Oubre. But like they want to hold on to the Minnesota pick and Wiseman for the offseason. And I think that's why these like next 20 games are so freaking important. It's not because you want, it's like you don't, you know, it'd be great if Wiseman.
Not because they're gonna bounce off and win a title through this.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that, right? Like you want Wiseman to show, like he has not been good for months. You want him to show that he could be good so that you have a chance to flip him if one of these superstars on the market. Like that's why it's so important. That's why it's so frustrating too, right? Like
you also would like him to be good so he can help you win games.
Yeah, sure. Correct.
And that's why, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but that's why it's frustrating that they're not playing to his strengths. Because you play to his strengths, he looks better, he's more impactful, you win more games, other people, like there's no downside to it, really.
No.
The downside is like, yeah, he doesn't learn how to pass out of the pinch post. Like he can do that over time. It doesn't need to be the first thing in the world. Anyway. We'll keep moving.
The Giants' offense is absolutely unstoppable. So,
can I ask this question?
When was the Jamil, last time, what's up, man?
When was the last time Oubre played a good game?
The last time Wiggins played a bad game. That's the rule. they literally do now play good at the same time. No, I really think the last time Oubre had a really good game was the last time Wiggins had a bad game. Because Wiggins has had like, even though he had a mediocre second half tonight, mediocre is probably stretching it, but like he's played really good basketball for the last month, right? Or for pretty much since the All-Star break. And pretty much since the All-Star break, Oubre's been like whatever, right?
I would literally right now give up Oubre for Iggy right now. Like right now. I don't care if Iggy's 65. I'm giving up Oubre.
Jamil, we appreciate you as always.
Miami looks like we're here on Miami. They look like they're ready to go on a run. I like that team, man. I like the way that they're constructed. I like that they got a second half. Hopefully no more COVID, right? Hopefully they got the vaccine. I'm ready to watch these guys roll off some wins.
Just the culture all-star team. all right. Hayden, what's up, man? What you got for us?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yeah.
Okay, cool. Just asking, so if Wiseman walks into Lacob's office, who said he's the best big man prospect since Joel Embiid, and he says, hey, like, I need to, you know, like I need a team built around me, like, whatever
he's going doing full right Chris now. Weber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's going full Chris Webber and says, hey, like, it's either got to be a full rebuild or you got to send me to a rebuilding team. Like, it's basically, it's me or Steph. What do you think they do?
Wow, I did not see that question coming.
I didn't see it coming and hate it. I guess I didn't mean to laugh at it. I think that's a fair question if he were to say, you need to develop me the way that I want to be developed. If he's going to say me or Steph, I mean, get the fuck out of here, right? Like, get out of here, James. But, like, I think it's fair to, if you're going to say, like, hey, develop me like how I
should. It's me or LeBron.
It's like, you kick rocks, man. Get the hell out of here. But it's fair to say, like, hey, help develop me the way that I feel like I should be developed instead of whatever is going on now. I don't know, Sam, what do you think? Do you think front office is going to take his side? In this scenario, hypothetical scenario?
I think they would be run out of town if they took his side. I don't think that's happening, but I do wonder if he's going to kind of voice some frustrations in the offseason. I kind of doubt it. Young players typically don't do that, but it's been a rough year for him. All right.
Yeah, you gotta show at least that you're good in the NBA to do that. But yeah.
Nandy, what's up?
Hi. Typically, I'm on your Steve Kerr bashing bandwagon, but today I don't really have much hate towards him.
Okay.
it's just frustrating that the team is filled with a bunch of, idiots, basically. Like, the amount of low IQ plays that I saw, like Oubre driving into four players that are just building a wall, and he's just trying to jump over them and shoot. That's just crazy. So my question was basically, we all wanted Kerr to change the system to fit the players. But if you think about it, next year, when Klay is back, or at least a portion of him is back, he's going to go back to playing his system, the one that took him to 5 straight finals.
Right.
So how would it be to how is it fair to young players making them play a separate way the rest of the season and then not letting them do that in the next season? So like how will that help the team?
That's a great question. That's a great question, Andy. We appreciate you calling in. I feel like that is the issue. Steve Kerr's system, like the triangle, really only works if you have a bunch of really smart veterans. Like you need Andre Iguodala, you need Sean Livingston, you need Draymond Green, you need Kevon Looney, players like that. And this team is, I mean, this team's athletic, but I wouldn't say this team has, the highest IQ outside of Steph and Draymond.
This was one of the few games where, this was a lot on the players. It felt like it was more on the players. By the way, Steve Kerr after the game had some pointed comments saying how, saying in so many words, like, these guys should play with more urgency. We're in the stretch run of the season, right? Like, we got to figure this thing out. It feels like he's doing a little bit of the Phil Jackson, trying to get these guys in the gear, because this was one of the ugliest games played by the players. Like, I get it. Like, maybe you make the game more simplified tonight, but they were outclassed and they just were just not very good mentally. But like, what's the Nandy's question is fair. Like, how's that going to change next season if you got the same players?
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a decision they make internally. Cause like they can't expect to run the system that they ran during the title run without a bunch of veterans. It's just, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So like you can either adapt, run a new system, get a new coach to run a new system, or trade young players and bring in veterans so you can run what the coach wants to run.
Yep.
But this whole like halfway thing, it's not, I mean, it's going to be like this, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they bring in Andre Iguodala, Nico Batum, Avery Bradley, and Trevor Ariza next season, then I could tell you, yeah, they could probably run that system. Like, they could probably run that system. I think that system would probably work. They might be the 3 seed, but they're not. They're not going to bring in those guys. And Marc Gasol, like, they're not going to bring in those guys. Like, actually, I don't know, but they would try. But like, right? Like, it's not how it's going to work. You got to play Jordan Poole. You got to play James Wiseman next season. Like, those are two key cogs, and they are not fit for this system.
Agreed. All right, Sachem, what you got for us? How you doing, man?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, good. I had some thoughts on Poole and Wiseman, and I had like one trade I was thinking about. So I'll start on Poole. I think we should give him a chance to like start at point guard and play Steph the 2 and move Kelly to the bench. Because he's like the first time when they talk about extension, he said I'm more productive coming off the bench. So maybe we should just try that out for like a few games and maybe see where this team goes. If he's productive off the bench, then maybe we can think about keeping him, even though I don't want to pay him $20 million. And yeah, that's on Poole. And for Wiseman, I don't know if you remember the first time when Wiggins came to the Warriors. You remember when Steve Kerr did like this interview, and then he told Wiggins that like this is it. Like if you don't make it here, then you don't make it anywhere, kind of thing. I think even though it's really early, I think he needs to have like that kind of a talk with Wiseman, because he plays so sad or something. I don't know. Every time he makes a mistake, his head's down and he's like, whatever, I'm just going to give up now. I'm done. Like, someone needs to have that kind of talk. I don't know if it's Draymond, if it's some veteran or something, but he needs to know that when he's angry, then he plays so well. Like, I think we've seen it like 3 games this season. When he gets angry, then he plays really well. So I think someone needs to like talk to Wiseman about this. Like, you need to give it your all, or you're going to be gone like next or this coming off season. And for the third thing, I was wondering about, would you trade Wiggins and I don't know who you would trade from the Warriors, but to get Jeremy Grant and Wayne Ellington, would you do that?
Sasha, I appreciate you. Ooh, I feel like that's a toss-up trade. I think I'd almost rather keep Wiggins. I don't know that it does too much for the Warriors. But to his broader point, I do agree. They need to play Steph and Poole a little more. I don't know if they need to start him, but they need to play them a little more together just to see what they have.
Yeah, I agree on that. I mean, it's a little, hey, Sam, for you, it's a little Steph Dame, little Dame CJ-ish, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not really a winning kind of backcourt, but like the Portland wins a lot of games. And again, you have Draymond and you have Klay Thompson. Like those are guys that are still really good at basketball and two guys that Portland doesn't have. Right. So I think that's fair. I agree with
Portland
that.
Portland has the worst center rotation in the NBA. Literally. Or has for years. Like it's just, if you're going to play guards who can't defend, you better have someone behind them.
Miserable. So. The Wiseman thing, I think he makes a great point. And I think the Warriors coaching staff knows this. He's not soft, but he is, it seems like he easily spirals. And that's hard for a, we compare him a lot to Brandon Belt. Cause Brandon Belt, when he first started, coming up in the league, he just spiraled.
He's basically the opposite of Draymond. Draymond can do some dumb stuff, like get a technical for arguing and then just forget about it the next day, you know, the next play.
Either. Yeah. I agree. And we would see Belt go on like 1 month long slumps, like just hitting like 180. And you just be like, what is going on? And with Wiseman, I don't think it's that pronounced, but it's like you can just watch him in a game. Like he's out of the game in 5 minutes. And I'm talking mentally out of the game in 5 minutes. I don't know what you can do with that. You can play as much pick and roll as you want, but end of the day, like the kid's got to figure out how to not lose himself in the game 5 minutes in, man. Like you just can't play basketball.
Or you can play a system that plays to his strengths and build his confidence.
Yes. Yes.
Sean, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up, guys? I've been putting
the avatar on.
Oh, wow, yeah. man, Wiseman, bro. I mean, I do see the upside. Like, you can't give up on him. But like, five turnovers tonight too. Like, a lot of the times the refs aren't giving him like good whistles. Like, it's the rookie whistle. But like, if he can't set those screens, man, have you seen him set a real good screen? Like, what are they doing in the pick and roll in practice? I don't know. And what are they teaching him, bro? I mean, that's my question, honestly, was going to be like, who do you guys think is genuinely untouchable on this roster? Is it more than three people?
It's one person.
It's yeah. It's
not. At this point, it's just one person. You are right. And I do think that's why it's like, okay, so we see a lot of bad body language from James Wiseman. We see a lot of confusion, etc. But I'm also not convinced. I don't trust the coaching staff is actually putting him in a position to succeed. You're not going to get a Steph Curry with every draft pick.
Right.
He seems like a really nice kid who works really hard. You should probably be building the system to get him going instead of the other way around. And that's kind of what my, like, I don't know. It was the Bulls, but we saw literally they get him going early and you get a lot more out of him.
Right. I mean, I agree. I also think, like, you're right, but, like, when he takes the matchup against all NBA defenders and then goes for that, like, baby hook, like, yeah, maybe it's the coach, maybe it's just the coaching staff. They got to tell him that, like, you know, play your strengths, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he thinks he's Kareem out there. Sean, we appreciate you. And, like, he's trying to do that stuff, but it's like, maybe give him a little more it seems to me he needs to be given a little more structure and like simplified directions. It's like, dude, we don't need you posting up. We don't need you running. You know, I don't need you playmaking out of the pinch post or anything like that. I need you setting a screen, diving hard or spotting up.
He is in a deep, dark place right now where that spin move isn't working because it's scouted. Euro step in transition isn't working. Athleticism isn't working. So. All right, Mike Davis.
Mike, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Just a couple of points. You guys said Coach Kerr was talking about, you know, playing with some heart and some grit. I don't think that's, you know, that's not on the coach to do those things. You know, like that has to come from the players. And there's a lot of nights that I just don't see it come from the players themselves. You know,
Mike, let me ask you this. Do you think they didn't play hard tonight? Because I think tonight it was more that they played dumb as opposed to, I didn't think effort was an issue. I think execution was an issue.
I think they play hard in spots. I don't think it's a consistent, you know, thing all the time. you know, I don't think anybody's scared of this team. You know, I think right.
It's not the 2017 Warriors.
Yeah, and I'm not expecting them to be that, but I think teams know that we have one player in that step and try to stop him so he doesn't beat you. You know, like you guys talk about Draymond some nights, it's like, you know, I'm screaming at the TV like, wait a minute, you're a three-time champion. What? Why are you throwing passes like that? You know, like, it's just crazy.
There was one in the first half where Jimmy Butler knew, even though Draymond beat him off the dribble, he was going to pass the ball, and Jimmy just kind of sat back waiting to intercept the pass because Draymond telegraphed the pass instead of just trying to make a goddamn layup. And right. It's stuff yeah. like that that gets really frustrating over time.
And, you know, you see other teams do things like that. You see just – I sometimes wonder, like, at the caller before me, you know, it's like, do we practice together? Like, the turnovers, you know, it's like sometimes it's just – like, do you guys practice together? Don't you know each other by now? You know, like, it's just really. But I'm gonna get to my second, so I know you guys got to get to others. I'm probably in a company of one here on Wiseman. I just don't see it, you know, for the future. And the reason why I say that is because they are literally teaching him how to play the game of basketball at a pro level. And I know he only had 3 games in college. He was probably a man among boys in high school, but as we all know, the pro game is different.
Right.
And I just, I want it for the kid. I really do. I just don't see it. I'm not saying he's a bust yet. He's trying hard, but they are literally teaching him how to play basketball.
I do agree with you that we've been saying this all year. How old's Steph going to be when he figures it out? That's like the question, right? That's the real issue. Cause I think he's going to end up being a pretty good player. Like, we can argue about what his ceiling is, but I do think he's going to end up finding a nice little role in the NBA and being a productive player. I'm just not convinced it happens on the Warriors before Steph is an old man.
Right. My last point is on Wiseman is, I think if you look at, I almost think that maybe he should have went down to the G League for a couple of weeks, you know, you know, bearings together. And then look at some other rookies, and I'm not going to talk about the ones we should have drafted, but, you know, they just have a little bit more natural ability. And maybe, you know, that's because, you know, like LaMelo played against grown men, you know, in Australia, right. And Halliburton, you know, they got to get through their college season and stuff like that. So, I'm not blaming Wiseman for what he's lacking in terms of his experience. It's just, I mean, I just don't, I see basic things that he just doesn't.
Right.
You know?
Well, appreciate you, Mike. We agree with you.
It's a great call. I mean, I don't think he's saying anything that, and there's a lot of people that are saying the same things about Wiseman. Like, I don't think that people are concerned about him. I almost have kind of flipped on the other side, though, Sam. I almost feel like, man, like, if you look back on some of the bigs in the NBA outside of, like, really the elite ones, and I don't think you or I think that Wiseman's ending up at his head as a top 10 NBA player.
David Robinson. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, but some of these bigs, man, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner, man, it took these guys years to become good. So, I get the feel stuff. I get that he really sucks right now stuff. But he's going to be good. But the big question is just, number one is, when is he going to be good? And then number two, kind of like number five is like, how good is he going to be? Because who cares how good he's going to be if it's going to take him 5 years to get there? Like, Miles Turner is cool. It took him 4 or 5 years. Shit, man. 4 or 5 years from now, Steph is going to be like Ray Allen in Miami. Like, that's the type of player he's going to be, right? Like, with a little bit more of a handle. So it's like, I don't know what you do with that.
Agreed. All right, Ricky, what you got for us?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's up, man?
All right, what's up? You know, throughout the season, you know, I'm wondering before each game, you know, what version of Andrew Wiggins are we going to get? What version of Kelly Oubre are we going to get? But has this season gotten bad enough to the point where I'm wondering what version of Steve Kerr are we getting? You know, the chasing wins version, or the I'm only going to change up the game plan to please the fans on Twitter version?
You know, Bob Myers did say that Steve's experimenting, and on some level, I do agree he should experiment because their chance of competing for a title went out the window when Clay got hurt. But on the other hand, it does feel like schizophrenic, where you're like, he's experimenting because he wants to figure out a way to play his way of basketball instead of just calling a spade a spade and being like, this is the best way to play with the roster, and let's just maximize them that way.
You got it. I got nothing for you.
All right, Ricky, we appreciate you. We got a couple more callers to get to, then we'll get out of here.
I think Ricky has called in every time, and I shouts out to Ricky.
Yeah, here's our other guy. What's up, my man?
You guys good? My question to you guys is, how many more losses before they start the tank rolling, you know? I mean, give me four more losses and, all right, let's go for that lottery pick. Two lottery picks, Minnesota and our pick. What do you guys think? Obviously, we're in the 10th spot right now.
I don't think they're going to. I just don't think they're going to. I don't think that there's any difference between the right now, I think they're going to get the 13th pick. Yeah. If they try to tank command their way, they could maybe get up to 9. And just based on the talent in this draft, there's no sign. Like, if they could lose to get 2 top 5 picks, then I'd be like, okay, well, that's, you know, that's hard to say no to. But just based on everything I've seen and read, all the prospects between 6 and 15 are kind of the same. In other words, you have just as good a chance of getting a player at 13 as you do at 7. You also have just as good a chance of busting.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the fan base is probably going to be a little bit more annoyed than tonight if they get a few more losses like this one. I don't know.
Agreed. All right, Side. Appreciate you.
I also think thanks for calling in, Side. I think part of it's too, it's a little disrespectful to Steph. If you're tanking and he's able to play. Yeah. It's very disrespectful to Steph Curry if you're tanking.
I mean, it's a different thing if he's just too beat up. But.
Yeah, you're right. The tailbone, all of that. But if he can play basketball, he's got to play basketball, man. I get all the, it's probably better if you tank. Maybe the difference between 13 and 9 is the difference between Klay Thompson or getting, whatever guy in the draft that wasn't good in the Klay Thompson draft.
Klay Thompson.
But yeah, that wasn't him. But goddamn, man, it's hard to look at Steph and 33 and just tell him hey, we're gonna tank for a top back lottery pick, you know, and then we're gonna sit you the rest of the season. Like, if I were Steph, I would, you know, any competitor out there would tell you to fuck off.
I also think, yeah, you're running into a major. Oh, we've talked about this ad nauseum. I don't want to ask Steph those questions. All right,
It could not be me.
Perk.
Hey, Perk. So
can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it.
What would our record be right now if we had a healthy Marquese Chris?
Ooh. We haven't talked too much about Marquese Chris this season, have we, Andy?
Ooh. Yeah, we were kind of looking. We didn't talk about too much preseason, but he was one of, he probably would have been one of the players that, well, right now he'd be playing 30 minutes.
I mean,
without a doubt.
Look, it's preseason, but he clearly looked the best of their bigs in the preseason. And I mean, he was figuring it out. I really do feel bad for him that he got the injury at the time he got the injury. I think he'd probably give him at least one more win, at least one more, if not two. Hard to say. Adding 2 wins is a lot, to be honest. But I think he'd make everything better for them. I think he would have improved the situation.
Yeah, I think also he's a good fit on this team, whatever basketball, that style that they want to play to. He's kind of a small ball 5. He's a decent passer. He got a lot better on defense, still kind of mediocre, but decent shooter. We would have saw him spread the floor a little bit, right? That would have been, honestly, you just would have been fun to watch. To watch.
And you are right. He can pass the ball enough. He can make the basic reads that they want him to make.
Yep.
All right, we're going to end it here. We'll be back. Maybe Sunday or something. But until then, let's see what happens. Hopefully all the Warriors are still healthy.
See you guys next time. Bye.